Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Boisterous cacophony and stifling heat battled for the right to claim possession of the third sheet's common room, while a thick miasma of alcohol and body odor waited in the wings to challenge the victor. Shutters on the front door gaped wide, propped open by sticks or stones, but the gentle breeze that wafted through, stirring sawdust across the floor and hair across many heads, was no match for the roasting temperature within. Pressed so many bodies together, filled the air with hot breath of laughter and conversation, and just a pinch of smoke from the kitchen fires, and the result was a refuge where summer lingered long after the rest of the city had kicked it out. Given its halfway clever name, Corvus had hoped for more from the third sheet, but it was just another tavern. Tables and chairs stretched unevenly across the room. Laborers and craftsmen sat scattered around those tables or along a bar formed from a single tremendous log. Barmaids with harried faces wended through the throng, delivering drinks and plates of roast meats from a bearded bartender with an equally harried face. A number of the larger men, and no small handful of women, carried themselves with the posture of professional soldiers. Even half-drunk, clustered around a table and trading obscene jests, they kept watch on the door, and on occasion a particular startling sound inspired a few to drop their hands toward their waists. Corvus, clad in the scruffiest traveling leathers he possessed, had seated himself a few tables away. He nursed a tankard of more foam than ale and tried his best to make sure they noticed him watching them, all while appearing as though he was trying to be inconspicuous. Eventually, however, one of the women met his gaze once too often. Scowling, she elbowed a fellow beside her and whispered, pointing Corvus's way. Her companion in turn said something to the man beside him, and a moment later, Corvus found his table surrounded by five tipsy soldiers.
This plan made a lot more sense before I actually put it in motion.
Don't most of them?
You got a problem?
The woman who'd first noticed Corvus leaned across the table on her knuckles.
I do.
Corvus deliberately kept his hands well away from Sunder.
But not with you. Actually, it occurs to me you might be able to help me.
Corvus offered up a friendly grin.
Join me for a round?
Do you buy in?
Wouldn't be a polite invitation if I wasn't.
Amazed by what the promise of free drink did for their attitudes, Corvus waved over the nearest barmaid and found himself suddenly surrounded by his best friends in the world. More of them, he realized with a quick head count, than had actually come to threaten him in the first place. Soon everyone was settled with tankard, mug, horn, or flagon in hand.
So, it seems to me that you folk have the look of fighting men. And women.
Corvus canted a respectful and slightly appraising glance at the sharp-featured female soldier. She smirked and raised her mug.
And I'm thinking with you being here in the city, and rumor telling me that the various house and mercenary companies are assembling outside the cities, that at least some of you must be city guards. Right so far?
Aye.
Yes.
Corvus took a deliberately messy swig of his own beverage, wiping foam from his mustache.
So would I also be right in guessing that some of you could tell me a bit about those murders that happened here recently?
The table went dangerously silent, smiles flipping over into aggressive glowers.
Some of us lost friends that night. What makes you think we want to talk to you about it?
Look, I think we've all heard who was responsible, right? Well, there's an awfully large price on his head because of it. I don't pretend my odds of finding him are all that good, but I'm looking to collect on it. A man could retire on what they're offering, and the gods haven't yet answered my prayers about getting younger.
You're a bounty hunter?
I am. Eversland Cave, at your service.
We don't need any help from your kind.
I don't doubt that, but you're stuck here. If you know who is still in Denethor, fine, you'll get him, and gods help him when you do. But you think he's still in Denethor? He's killed folk from here to Masephia, and if he's moved on, wouldn't you want to see him get what's coming to him? Even if you can't do it yourselves?
Maybe he can help.
He's an outsider.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?